let's go back to our calls. Hi, Mark, and thanks for waiting.
Oh, good morning, Wayne.
Good morning.
Wayne, I'd like to say that I'm prejudiced about everything. In fact...
everything, okay.
Absolutely, and I think when I have a prejudice, and one of them is that I regard Vietnamese, Korean, and Pakistanian people as particularly industrious workers, and I found them very industrious, especially in my contacts with them.
Okay, so you're saying that you're having a positive stereotyping here.
The importance of my comment is that it's really... just my opinion, and that it's prejudicial, but you find that very easy to accept because it's one you particularly agree with. And I find that's when we discuss racism and prejudice, this is the whole crux of the issue. It's all right to flatter a racial type if the other person is of that racial type and they agree with you. All of a sudden, that's not stereotyping or racism anymore. It still is. It's still prejudice.
Yeah, can we stop just a second here?
Sure.
Yeah, you make a good point there, Mark. But I'll tell you what I really prefer, personally.
What's that?
And I don't want to stifle discussion from people of the opposing view. I really prefer personally that we look at an individual.
Well,
okay, and say that person or these three specific individuals are industrious, they are reliable, and so forth.
Well, that is the only intelligent way to make assessments about any person. And of course, people who rely on racial stereotypes or racial assumptions are, of course, making it much harder on themselves to really understand the person they might like to get to know.
Yeah, I think you're right. I really do.
Well, when you bring that up, that's very important, too, to point out that all individuals use prejudice every day, every hour, every minute. The neighborhoods we choose, the wives we take, or spouse, the friends we associate with, the type of taste we have in cars,
Sure. Furniture,
people, friends, you name it, we employ prejudice. And prejudice is really a set of standards. Now, in a lot of people, they're really irrational standards. They're not based on benevolent and logical things like, what are you really like? They'll say, I see what you look like, and that's good enough for me, and they draw conclusions.
When people use the word prejudice, though, Mark, without getting into semantical tyranny, when they use the word prejudice, though, what does it mean, generally speaking, in the vernacular and common usage?
Well, you and I have an understanding. It associates a negative stereotype.
Sure.
In
okay.
other words, we're being derisive about something.
Yeah.
You know, prejudice is a very interpretive thing. And it's funny when you dealt with the Sikhs. You know, they feel they're being prejudiced against here. But, you know, fortunately, when you mention that, I've done a lot of work on India. And, you know, the Sikhs are extraordinarily persecuted in India alone.
Mm-hmm.
The most violent and murderous persecution to Sikhs in the world has happened in India.
Yes, I know.
And they are much safer here by any standard in the world than they are there.
And it is possible, and I think I know what you're going to say, it's entirely possible that in some cases, some members of that community may be overreacting.
Even if they're correct, let's look at it this way. You see, the wonderful thing about this country right now is that we have protection under law for all peoples. That's where you don't want prejudice. The law should always be totally impartial. People aren't like that. You see, people make up a diverse society. It's the code of law that's supposed to keep them benevolently equal towards each other in those jurisdictional cases where the law is involved. So when the Sikhs say, I've been aggressed, they can go to our courts and they know they can get satisfaction. They are, in fact, like all of the others. But when a man says, you know, I really resent you in whatever crude fashion he says, even though that's offensive, it's only words, and words don't hurt. You can let them hurt you, but they don't really hurt you. They don't really compromise your job. They don't really compromise how you feel about yourself unless you let them.
Yeah, you're a libertarian fellow, and you believe in personal rights and freedom of speech and all the rest of this thing. And I don't imagine, and you tell me, because I don't want to put words in your mouth, I don't imagine you'd probably support any hate literature bill of any kind or hate literature law.
Well, and you're quite right about that.
Yeah.
I guess I would even defend the right of an irrational neo-fascist to say that the Holocaust doesn't exist. I know it did. I've written about it.
Yeah.
Certainly under no illusions there, but, you know, basically in this country, your government can seize anything of yours. They can take your house, they can take your car, they can take anything you own. The only thing they can't...
I don't know, you're making a wow.
Well, let me...
They can take anything I own.
With the pretense of law, like income tax evasion or seizure of whatever assets you have through taxes, they can eventually take anything they want of you, but what they can't take is what's inside your brain. And no matter how wild or woolly that is, you know, you are entitled to it.
But don't you wish in Nazi Germany, though, that there had have been some law to take what was inside of the hearts and minds of Hitler and his henchmen and butchers? I mean, don't you just wish that it would have been possible somehow to do it?
There was. After 1933, you couldn't say anything bad about Nazis. And that's my point, is that every country where they have laws that outlaw prejudice, racial prejudice, or certain stereotype prejudice,
yeah.
Northern Ireland, the Soviet Union, Eastern Bloc,
yeah.
They usually have a lot of violence because people can't take their passions out in print, so they resort to violence. But usually the state sanctions a certain scapegoat, like in the Soviet Union, it's Jews. In the Middle East, it's the Jews. In Northern Ireland, it's Catholics. I mean, in other words, certain groups will sanction a certain kind of prejudice because that's the one they agree with. And that was my original point, is that we are favorably inclined to prejudice if we agree with it, and we are hostile and very angry when we disagree with it. And unfortunately, what happens is these interest groups use the law system to further racial stereotypes that they agree with, and penalizing others for the same, doing the same thing in their own bizarre way.
Okay, Mark, one quick one and I gotta go. Do you really think a guy should be able to stand up in a church pulpit and say Jewish businessmen are dishonest, that Jews are slime, you know, and on? I mean, I could really get, you know, gross on the radio here, and I don't want to do that, okay? But do you think a guy should be allowed to do that in a church?
If people are attending and they wish to hear him say that, yes, I do. And it's tragic, but I think that has such illuminating, wonderful consequences that people can say to themselves, you know, even with an idiot like that standing up there saying it, it's still a free country. He won't go to jail for saying that crap.
Okay, now should a guy be allowed to stand up in a place and let's name names and say about Herb Gray or Bob Kaplan?
Well, I think,
and make comments that are derogatory and racial and vicious, should they be allowed to do that?
Well, one thing we have to determine is where this is being said. You know, what you and I say in our own home, because it's...
Oh, yeah, and our caller, or at least our guest from the Jewish Congress, said the same thing.
Oh, well, that's a very important distinction. You know, when I print something in a newspaper or whatever, I would theoretically own that newspaper. When I speak in my home, I am in my own home,
sure.
And I own it, and I'm entitled to that.
Yeah.
If I speak on the street, where we acknowledge that this is, in fact, public or everyone's property, and that everybody is entitled to the same respect and consideration on that public property, then, of course, we don't have that right. And there's that important distinction to make.
Mark, let's leave it there.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. Good discussion.